It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 314, entitled Flaky Internet. It was recorded on Monday, the 11th of November, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and today I am joined by three guests, by Taco, Verdonshot. Don't quite know, but you'll find out. Also by Mark Benzacane and by Jen Harris. It is a WordPress podcast, and so, yes, we talk about WordPress. We talk about the release candidate for WordPress 6.7, which is just about to drop. We talk about the automatic suing of the Festinger Vault website, which is one of those GPL clubs which sells nulled plugins. The interactivity API is under discussion on a podcast episode I did over on the Tavern. WordCamp Asia and Europe will soon be able to be attended by recipients of the Kim Parcell Memorial Scholarship. We also look at the new WordPress Figma design library and a few new tools, Superblocks, something called the Toolkit for Block Themes, which is substituted the name of Twentig, and also Fluent Community. And we also get into a conversation about whether social media should be banned. The Australian government thinks so, for children at least. It's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. And by Bluehost. Redefine your web hosting experience with Bluehost Cloud. Managed WordPress hosting that comes with lightning-fast websites, 100% network uptime, and 24/7 priority support. With Bluehost Cloud, the possibilities are out of this world. Experience it today at bluehost.com/cloud. And by Omnisend. Do you sell your stuff online? Then meet Omnisend. Yes, that Omnisend. The email and SMS tool that helps you make 73 bucks for every dollar spent. The one that's so good, it's almost boring. Hate the excitement of rollercoaster sales? Prefer a steady line going up? Try Omnisend today at omnisend.com. Hello there and welcome to the WP Builds This Week in WordPress, episode number 314. I am joined by two fabulous people, but lurking in the background is our third one. So let's see. Yay!
Oh, there I am.
There he is. Yes, Mark. How are we doing?
And you can hear me, right?
We can hear you. Everything's working tickety-boo. So thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Tickety-boo. I got to remember that one.
Yeah,
I'm sure
don't worry.
That in America, people will be looking at me like I don't belong there. But
No, we wouldn't. Let's go around the houses and give the introduction. So first off, over there is Taco Verdonshot. How you doing, Taco?
All good.
Do I ever get your name right? Like the taco bit, I reckon I've probably nailed, but the Verdonshot?
Close enough. So there's the SCH combination in there, which is a very Dutch sound. And we used that back in the day when we were at war with France. We used words with the SCH combination in it to make sure that you are talking to an actual Dutch person because it's so hard to get right. But I'll take all the versions.
Okay. So it's Taco Verdonshot, except that one. Let me read his bio because it's nice. It's totally perfect for this day in history. Taco, when he signed up for this webinar, he wasn't sure if it would be public knowledge already that after 11 plus years with the company, he's leaving Yoast. By now, we all know it. For the next 10 days, I think you said 10, right? It is 10 days still, yeah. Taco is still head of relations at Yoast, leading their community team and their support team. As of December, he'll be leaving Yoast to rejoin Marika and Yoast, that's not confusing, at Emilia Projects. with his role, well, yet to be decided by the look of it. We don't exactly know yet, but it will include things like advocating for their latest plugin, which is called Progress Planner. Look at that. Look, quick little...
Nice.
Of course, he'll remain active in the WordPress community and as a regular here on the This Week in WordPress show. So,
if
wow.
Still changes. Me, that is.
What's that?
If you'll still have me.
Oh, yes. We'll just have a slightly different... no doubt a different cardigan or, you know, hoodie yes. or something like that. How are you feeling about all that? Are nervous times for you or are you totally looking forward to it 100%?
So saying goodbye to Yoast is like saying goodbye to a limb. It's all my career in WordPress has been at Yoast. I've learned all the things I know about WordPress, everyone I know in WordPress because of Yoast. So it's not an easy goodbye.
Oh,
but on the other side of the street, literally, is an amazing team waiting, and I cannot wait to join them.
It's literally, like, actually on the other side of the street.
Literally across the street. I can see the building from here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's kind of nice. You're not really going that far. The commute is the same.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it's a 5-minute walk.
Oh, I'm sure they'll be coming over, bringing you drinks and asking for favors for a little while. But thank you for joining us. And yes, I certainly hope that you manage to come on the show after you know you've moved over to Amelia. That'd be lovely. Okay, let's go to number two. So number two on the show today is Jen Harris. How are you doing, Jen?
Good.
Very nice to have you with us. Jen has been extremely kind on this particular occasion because she just sort of dropped into the show at the last minute's notice. So I'm very, very appreciative of that. You may see from the screen, if you're looking at the screen, that Jen is associated with, and you'll find out more in a minute, with Easy Ally Guide. In fact, she owns it. And over there, she works with developers and agencies to make web accessibility easier. The Easy Ally Guide includes tools, guides, procedures, and lots of video tutorials, which are hosted on the YouTube channel for people new to accessibility and those who want to get into the details. Jen also owns Anfira, where she helps clients take the frustration out of WordPress. She works with a wide range even of clients from multi-million dollar companies to solopreneurs maintaining their WordPress sites with care plans and generally making their WordPress journey less frustrating. When not helping clients and speaking on accessibility, she organizes the Baltimore WordPress meetup. And she also can usually be found with her dog, husband on a dog. That was a mistake. I'm going to say that husband. Again. Dog husband. Gosh, there's a whole meme in there. With her dog and...
let's just start over. With my husband, comma, and my dog on a hiking trail.
There is no comma. There's just an and my brain refused to see it. Her husband and dog on a hiking trail in the kitchen. Baking. I want pictures of this dog husband now. Oh gosh, I'm never going. That's the title of today's show, without a doubt. Already signs
him. Come on, it was going to be the pie episode. 314.
Oh, darn it. Okay. Anyways, thank you, Jen, for hopping in and taking that one on the chin. I do apologize. That was pretty horrific.
Be glad my husband is no longer with the military. And
that's right.
Command over aircraft.
Get a knock on the door. Gosh.
I'd actually just be a little nervous going on any more hikes with him now.
There's no way I'm going to stop laughing for the next minute or so. I've got it really
and
deep.
And happy Veterans Day to everyone in the US, especially our service members.
Oh, thank you. We don't have that in the UK. We have what's called Armed Forces Day, but as far as I'm aware, it's not a national thing. It's done in my town because they do a big parade along the coast and all of that kind of stuff. But so I don't know if we have an equivalent. We do, of course, have Armistice Day, which is today. And I don't know if there's a connection there because of, you know, the cessation of hostilities during World War II. Anyway, so there we go. And finally, joining us at the last moment, but joining us nonetheless is, oh no, hold on. I'm going to do the mnemonic in my head silently. It's Mark Benzacane.
Very good. Very good. And
first time ever.
Now I need to come up with like a great story like Taco had on the how why my name is hard to, you know, like, I don't know, Jewish people wanted people to not recognize them or something. I don't know. But yeah.
Okay.
That's a great story, Taco. It is a great story. And also I want to know how you do pronounce it.
Verdonschot.
Oh God, there was no way I was gonna get that right, was there?
yeah.
I think we should all go around and try it. Right, Taco, say it one more time.
Yeah. Verdonschot.
Okay, I'll try first. Verdonschot.
Close.
Jen, give it a try.
Verdonschot.
Yeah, and Mark. Yeah.
Smith.
That's brilliant. Lovely. I like the ventriloquist way you did that as well, without moving your lips. Smith. Anyway, let's get to your bio. Mark has been involved with the WordPress community for over 13 years. He's currently the marketing manager at MainWP and soon will be starting his own non-WordPress related podcast. Spill the beans. What's it about?
Well, I'm getting closer to it. It is a podcast called X versus Z, and it is basically a podcast where it's multiple generations sit around and kind of roundtable discussions about current day events. Nothing's off the table, but I feel like there's a huge disconnect between the generations. There always has been, especially in the States. We kind of like have the older people who think the younger people don't know what they're talking, or people don't know what it's like to be young. And I think that if we could bridge that gap and have these conversations, we could learn a lot from each other, using, you know, the wisdom of us older people and learning from the younger people, because they have fresh ideas, they're very excited, they're motivated, they're, you know, they have a lot of enthusiasm that we tend to lose as we get older. And I just want to have like real conversations, and for me it's a learning experience. For them, hopefully it's a learning experience, and hopefully a lot of fun.
I genuinely think that's a really great idea. I'm gonna wait and see how many episodes you can get into it before you become some sort of old curmudgeon and just sort of go, no, that's not.
Well, I mean, our tagline is get off my lawn. So maybe, okay, you know.
Okay. You're allowed to whip up the hysteria. That's perfect.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know if you were watching that, you may have briefly noticed, I'm going to say Jen's dog. I'm not going to tread on that landmine.
Yes.
Okay. that was nice. Nice to bring the pets in. Anyway, here we are. We've managed to get like a whole quarter of an hour in and we've achieved nothing so far. So this is a bit of a record. Let's see some of the comments. Firstly, a few bits of housekeeping. If you're watching this and you want your friends, colleagues, relations, pets involved, head to wpbuilds.com/live. It is now working over there. I can see it's working. So if you had a problem, I apologize, but share that URL, wpbuilds.com/live. And if you want to make a comment over there, there's a couple of ways of doing it. You can either use the box on the right. If you're on a desktop, it's underneath if you're on mobile. And for that, you need to be logged into Google. If you are, you know, if you don't like Google for some reason and you just want to be anonymized, there's a little chat box in the top right of the video player, which you can access on the website. Okay. Righty-ho, let's go to the live chat. Firstly, just a few people joining us. So, for example, Courtney's here. That's very nice. Jerome is here. Thank you. Taco Verdunjord, he's also joining us in the comments. Who else have we got? Patricia, who was on just last week. She's joining us. So is Max. And struggling on the site to load. Yeah, so hopefully it's working at the moment. Marcus is also joining us as well. You're all so silly today. You're right, Marcus. And it's always a great start to the week. That's true. Let's maintain the silliness throughout this episode. And Tammy is joining us saying, hey, all. Okay, let me get rid of that particular caption and let's start things off as we mean to go on. Okay, here we go. Let's get stuck into the actual main content. First thing, bit of self-promotion. If you want to keep in touch with what we do, wpbuilds.com, put your email address into this field here on the form and click subscribe and we'll send you a couple of emails each week. Once when we finally put this episode out, what we do is we record it live on the Monday and then I turn it into basically an audio podcast and that goes out on the Tuesday. So it'll come out tomorrow morning And that really is kind of the endeavor, but doing it live, you know, you want to get the video involved as well. So that's really nice. So that's why we're here. It'll come out tomorrow and you'll get an email notification about that. And then we also do a podcast episode on a Thursday, each and every Thursday. And yeah, you'd get an episode, an email about that as well. The other thing to say is we have a pretty barnstorming Black Friday deals page. This year, so far, it's been sponsored by WS Form, Real Cookie Banner, and Gravity Forms, as well as Gravity Flow. And at the moment, I'm just going to scroll, right? Here we go. You ready for this? Right, here it comes. I'm going to scroll. I'm going to have to go fairly quickly, because if I don't go fairly quickly, we're not going to... Yeah, okay, you get the idea. There's about 200 and... I think 270-something on there at the moment, which sounds really overwhelming, and it kind of is a bit overwhelming. So if you want to have the Black Friday deals kind of searchable, filterable, just scroll down a bit and click this, and then you can sort of say, oh, I don't know, I want themey type things, or I want things that are themes and blocks, and you get the idea, and then you can sort of reset it all and what have you. So the URL for that is wpbuilds.com/black, and you can bookmark that for all of your WordPressy deals during the run-up to Black Friday. Have you, dare I ask, panelists, WordPress or otherwise, do you have your eyes on Black Friday? Is this a significant time of the year for you? Do you actually, you know, put things in the calendar and say, I'm going to buy that on that date? Or does it sort of come and go? And then you have that 3 weeks before Christmas regret that you didn't buy a ton of things that were obviously going to be loads cheaper. I know that's basically what happens.
I have a lot of renewals that are coming up Black Friday from previous years where I grabbed the special and now they're renewing. And I, of course, have my own specials, which are hopefully up on the page by now.
Yeah, they should be. If you sent me the link, everything that is there. In fact, let's go check it out. Let's have a quick look. So what would I type in? Let's go for Ally.
Easy.
Yeah, let's go for Easy. So if we type
in or
easy,
just Ally, that'll work too.
Let's type in Easy and then we'll have to scroll a little bit.
Da-da-da. Not really. Very little scrolling. There we go. Excellent.
Yeah, it's there. So you can see that Jen is going to be offering, I can't actually see the amount there, but you get the idea. You'll be able to go get the deal using the coupon code Black Friday. And it looks like it's live already until the 30th.
It is, yes.
November. Yeah, great. Great, great, great. Okay, so there's that page. Back to the question, though. Do you have anything? I've kind of got my eye on a telly. My telly's kind of dying. I think I'm going to get a telly. In terms of WordPress, I have nothing that I'm putting in a bag anywhere. There's nothing this year around which has piqued my interest enough to sort of think about it ahead of time. But Taco, anything?
Yeah, so I've been eyeballing a remote-controlled car on Amazon for a while. So I'm going to hold off until Black Friday to see if that does anything.
Okay.
But I must say that today, for those watching us live today, it's Singles Day because it's 1111. And that is a huge sale in Asia.
So,
yes, Alibaba and AliExpress and all of the Asian shops have insane discounts today. So I've been eyeballing some of those already as well.
So that's the thing. Every year, there's on the 11th of November, okay.
And it's size-wise, if you look at the sale, it's about the size of Black Friday, but then mostly in Asia.
Interesting. Yeah. So you go to, sites which are typically from that part of the world, like Alibaba and what? Okay.
Yeah.
Gosh. Okay. All right. What about you, Mark?
I got 8 kids, so everything is about Black Friday. So, and none of it's for me. So, but that's okay. It's all, it's
even the children who have got birthdays in October, you're stocking up for 11 months from now.
I got to tell you, I'm in massive declutter mode right now. Like, speaking of things you do when you get older and the get off my lawn thing, I am like, I want everything to be able to fit in a tent at this point that I own and just
a
leave
tent?
It at that.
Is it at least a large tent?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, what size tent?
It's a 12-bedroom tent, but it's still a tent.
Okay.
I once went traveling and, I spent quite a lot of years traveling and I had a fairly hefty rucksack, but I met this Danish guy who had been traveling for a decade, right? He'd never been back home for a decade. And he had a rucksack, honestly, like the size of my two hands. It was the size of a shoebox. And that's what he'd been carrying for a decade or more. And I thought that was the most profound, you know, just decluttering of life. He had enough, basically, in his bag was enough clothes to get him through the following day. So whatever he wasn't wearing was being washed and was dangling off it.
Insane.
And he didn't have any technology. I mean, he didn't have cameras. And it was, I found it quite impressive, actually, that kind of lack of attachment to bits and pieces. Patricia, you'll be pleased to know, Mark, says that she's hanging out for Main WP. But she's got some pre-sale questions.
The Main WP is already live. Yeah, the Main WP deal is already live. Thank you, Patricia, for bringing that up so that I can talk about it. Yeah, it's already live. It's $50 off on the annual subscription, and that $50 recurs every single year. So technically, in 4 years, you get your first year free if you want to do that kind of crazy accounting math kind of stuff.
Nice, nice. Well, there you go. That was introduced apropos of Patricia. Thank you for mentioning that. Get a nice, nice.
Thank you, Patricia. Appreciate that.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, thanks for letting me plug.
Yeah, and I forgot to say, I saw Marcus's comment and I didn't make the connection. Taco's done it for me. Thank you so much, Taco. Congratulations, Marcus, on the new job. Marcus is leaving. I don't know if that has already happened or if he is about to. Already happened, yeah. And joining a sister company, I think you call it, don't you, of Yoast, Bluehost.
Yes.
So yeah, congratulations, Marcus. Long may it continue. I hope you're still able to come on shows like this. That'd be really nice. Okay, so there is our Black Friday deals page, wpbuilds.com/black. Let's get into some actual WordPress stuff. So WordPress 6.7 release candidate 3 is around. Typically, I just mentioned this in the hope that one person hears it and goes and gives some constructive feedback, you know, tests it, makes the effort to then, I don't know, contribute whatever they found, whether there be a problem or something. And interestingly, before we hit record, Jen was saying she has in fact done this on this particular release candidate. Was there any gotchas? Did you test it thinking something would be wrong, or did it all go smoothly?
So I have an open source theme named Kaya that I maintain, and it's available on GitHub. And I typically do, in fact, wait for release candidate number 3, because rarely does anything actually go wrong. It's a classic theme, so there's not normally any breaking changes happening. But I just go through, I grab release candidate 3 and run through, test things, make sure nothing looks weird, and everything ran smoothly.
So that is the normal process, is wait for release candidate 3, just because it's kind of like the last thing in that chain. I see. Yeah. That makes sense.
Wait till it's probably stable and probably bug-free.
Yeah. And WordPress 6.7, with all of the bits and pieces that are coming, is going to be out very, very soon. I can't remember the date, but here we go. Tomorrow. So last chance, basically, if you want to go and test it. And if not, then hopefully this time tomorrow, if you've got things automated, they should start to, switch over to 6.7.
If you have either older hosting, some of that very inexpensive hosting, that's definitely been a gotcha in the past.
Yeah. Yep.
I remember there was, I think, a curl issue that happened with some of the older operating systems that were on some older hosting. And of course, plugin and theme authors, you got to go in and test. If you have a pretty stable system, then you have to test less, but if you're doing a lot of active development, a lot of changes, or especially if you're doing anything with the block editor, you really have to get in earlier on the release candidates and test.
Yeah, that's true. If you do have some product in the WordPress space and you haven't tested it, you do have basically a day in order to do that. And the easiest way to do it now, I think, at least anyway, is with Playground. If you're just testing this one thing, a plugin which you own, then you can obviously, you know, upload that into the Playground instance. But you can just click this button, and your WordPress website will appear magically in a browser. So anyway, there's that. And then we're going to move on to this piece, which is kind of interesting. This came from Ray Murray on the repository. And it's about an organization that I'd not heard of before called Festinger. I presume you pronounce it like that. Festinger Vault. And the title is Festinger Vault Crowdfunding Legal Battle with Automatic After Contentious Site Shutdown. Now, I know that in the more recent past, Automatic has been, you know, the word Automatic has been associated in many people's minds with the recent WP drama. This is disconnected from that, although there are some sort of similarities in some ways. And it's to say, I'm just going to quote various bits of it. Martin Groot, the developer behind Festinger Vault, has launched a public campaign to fund his legal fight against Automatic after the company forced the temporary closure of his website and seized his assets. And if you just read that paragraph, you might be thinking a totally different thing. And it might align with what's been happening over the last month. But read on, dear listener, because it gets interesting. In September, Festinger Vault unexpectedly shut down after Automatic issued a cease and desist letter accusing Groot of trademark infringement and GPL non-compliance. Launched in 2019, Festinger Vault sells access to 25,000 nulled premium plugins and themes under the GPL license. So you can see the twist. The story felt like it was going in one direction, and then it kind of took a sharp left and went elsewhere. Now, the idea really here is that we know how WordPress works, and we know a bit about the GPL. I confess I'm no expert in the GPL, but my understanding is that if something touches WordPress, then it's under the auspices of the GPL. And so long as you say that your code that you may have, let's say in air quotes, borrowed, unless you say where that's come from, then you're not breaking any conventions. Let me rephrase that. If you do say where you've taken it from, then you can fork that code and do things with it. However, I guess we're in sort of like a slightly weird gray area here where this person's business is entirely selling premium plugins out into the marketplace, and I don't know the exact number of plugins. Well, yes, I do here. It says, well, 25,000 null plugins. So it brings up this kind of moral question. Is it morally wrong to do this? Certainly, my understanding is it's legally not wrong to do that one thing, but the argument here is all around trademark infringement, which led to a sort of slightly different article posted by Matt, because Matt had to clarify something. Matt Mullenweg had to clarify something. But anyway, there's this ongoing dispute. This chap, Martin Groot, is trying to crowdfund $10,000 to fend off this legal action. And apparently at the point of writing, he's raised $945 so far. Now, what do you think? All three of you have got access, you know, you've got a plug-in business in some way, shape or form. What's the deal? Is this kind of like offensive or what?
Yeah, I find it very offensive, morally wrong, ethically wrong. The legal area gets a bit gray. A few of these have been taken down in the past, and it's usually on a trademark violation, because trademarks, you know, even recently with the whole Automatic thing, the author on Very Good Plugins used their trademark to get their plugin removed from WordPress.com because they were having issues with that. So trademark is usually where it gets taken down. Unfortunately, these GPL clubs have been kind of a problem within the WordPress community for many years. And I don't think they're totally going to go away, regardless of how this case goes.
Yeah. So I imagine there's more than Festinger Vault out there. Yeah. I imagine there's many of them. And I guess if you're a plugin developer, you know, Mark, I don't know if you know from the main WP, and Taco, whether you know from the Yoast side of things, do you end up kind of getting support requests from people who believe that they've bought a premium version from you guys? So in other words,
yes.
Is there a confusion with people thinking, I have bought this?
Yeah.
You know, I paid somebody money. I need support. Give me support. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And what we see is, because clubs like Festinger Vault, and I mean, I hate saying their name because that also gives them a stage and they really shouldn't have. And I really hope he won't be able to raise that 10 grand and just goes down. But I mean, the clubs typically sell those premium plugins at a very low price, which means that their customers are not the kind of developers that are building the big projects. And what we see in support is that the less people pay, the more demanding they get.
Huh.
And especially if they've paid a very tiny little bit, because in their opinion, they're a paying customer. They feel that they're entitled to the world and completely custom coding their website to make our plugin that they didn't buy from us work on their projects.
Gosh.
So, wow. Yeah, these sites are a real problem, not just because they're costing us, taking away those potential customers, but also because they're adding a load to our support team.
Do you know, Mark, we can come to you in a minute if you've got something to add to that. Do you know, Taco, is it legally allowed what they're doing? Because my understanding, and it is honestly the most rudimentary understanding, my understanding is that if they were to just offer the code, they can do that and they can pay for it. But it is, as you say, it's all the wraparound things like the trademark things and the fact that they're obviously not going to be able to offer support for it and things like that, which make it kind of morally wrong. But legally, are they allowed to do it? Do you know?
Well, if they're violating a trademark, then obviously they're not.
Yeah.
And I'm not enough of a legal expert to know what the boundary is exactly of what's legal and what isn't. And I hope that we're going to find out in court with Automatic and Festingerfold.
Yeah. Mark, anything to add? I don't know if MainWP have to deal with this ever or...
You know, I kind of suspect we're in a slightly different boat than what Taco's talking about, only because pretty much everything that MainWP does... our core product is free. And like Taco says, most of these people are not going to work on big projects and things like that. And so the premium extensions that you would get with the pro package, they may not be even interested in. So we don't really get, I don't think, a lot of support, but I don't deal with support, so I can't speak to that. I can tell you at ServerPress, we did have a few every now and then that would pull something like that. And what was interesting is, I would just contact the companies that were pushing our product and say, hey, stop. I wouldn't even go through legal channels, and they would pull it off. I mean, they would just do it. So I don't know if it's just gotten worse since 2 or 3 years ago, but I agree with what everyone else says. It's morally and ethically questionable at the very least.
And, it's kind of interesting to me because when you get to the level of 25,000 plugins, nobody can be doing that work with a mouse and a keyboard. You've got to have written some script to go out there and do all of this thing and, you know, present the pages and the whatever license key or download options you've got on that site. Presumably at some point, somebody's, I don't know, either buying a license and then that just gets sort of shared around. So I don't even know how that works, but we'll find out. It's supposed to go. Interestingly, this is done in Rotterdam. The court decided to lift the freeze on Grok's bank accounts, which maybe was a bit of a setback to Automatic. And the case will return to the Rotterdam District Court on the 27th of November, so in just a few days' time, for a decision on whether to lift the Festingervault website ban. It does seem that there was a fair degree of success on the Automatic side because this person, again, I've forgotten their name, Martin Groot, did have their life upended by the legal decision in that their assets were frozen and their bank accounts frozen and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, they presumably know what they're getting into. And the idea, though, they definitely want to win it and they hope to come back because they're crowdfunding this court.
What's really interesting here is that for the longest time, this person remained anonymous. Hmm. So it was on the website, you couldn't find who was behind Festingervault. And now that Automatic is taking legal action and he's been affected, he's publicly crying about how tough his life is and that they just can't take away his vehicle because of health conditions, et cetera, et cetera. I'd probably be doing the same in his position, but it is a little bit pathetic.
It's certainly an interesting story, and not one that, like, I think everybody knows that this part of the ecosystem goes on. Whether or not it's legal, you know, it is. Yeah, everybody has to realize that if somebody's job is to create a plugin and they're monetizing that, that is what is putting the food on their table for the people important in their lives. And then to sort of just piggyback off the back of that code and offer it, wrap it up in a sort of credible website does seem a little bit difficult. Whether or not it's legal, we'll find out, I suppose. But this lawsuit is all about trademark and various other things. So it isn't actually about the infringement of the nulled code. My understanding is that whole GPL code thing has never been actually sent through the court. So one day maybe that'll actually happen and we'll see how that goes. We appear to have lost Mark. I don't know if he's going to come back. Maybe his internet connection is gone, but if he does come back.
Must have been a rage quit.
Yeah, that's right. He's just, yeah, I'm furious with this. And on that bombshell, there he is. He's back. You dropped off for a minute there, Mark. I don't know what happened, but glad to.
I don't know what's going on today.
Never mind. If you do drop out, refresh the browser and I'll just drop you back in as soon as you can. Okay, so that story is available on the repository website. Just a couple of things to add to that. So first thing, well, apropos of the previous thing, Marcus is saying thank you to everybody. Yeah, still happy to come on the show. That's lovely. Nick Wilmot is saying hi. Hello, Nick. Nice to have you with us. And then Tammy, I'm guessing, is talking about Festinger. Many of us wish that we'd never heard of them. They also had mailing lists without asking people to be on them. Okay, so now we're definitely stepping into sort of shady territory, aren't we? And in that case, specifically in the European Union, at least, totally illegal. And Michelle Frechette from Stellar WP, who's often on the show, says they undersell your products for a pittance and buyers expect to be able to get support. But they didn't buy support. Yeah, and of course, in the WordPress space, that basically is what you're buying, isn't it? The updates and the support. And then, a little bit else to carry on, usually they buy a license, get a refund once they have your code. Oh, I see. That's how they go about acquiring it. They get the code, buy a license, invoke the 14-day money-back guarantee or whatever it may be that you've generously offered on your site. Okay. And then Dennis... Dennis Dornan, who is from, is he the founder? I think he's the founder.
He's the founder, yeah. So he would know for sure. So yeah. take what he said over what I said.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Dennis Dornan from MainWP, the founder, said, we stopped chasing GPL clubs at MainWP a long time ago. And the few times we did do something in support, we use it as a chance to educate the user and sell them directly. Interesting. So turning a bad thing good. Interesting. Okie dokie. Right. Yeah. Okay.
I recognize that, though, that we always try to tell people what happened and where, how they ended up in this situation and try to help them out of it.
Yeah, because I can totally imagine a scenario where everything you've done as the purchaser of the nulled plugin is totally legit. You have no conception that you've bought a rogue copy. And you just presume that because you've paid money for it, it must be, you know, because you can't walk into a high street shop and buy something and it not be something that you bought. So,
well, you can.
Oh, can you? Okay.
Because there's, you know, how many people who are selling, you know, counterfeit handbags.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Watches.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But no, you can't go take your, you know, counterfeit Rolex and go to Rolex. They're not going to repair it for you.
No, that's right. Oh, yeah. Can I get a refund, please?
Exactly.
Yeah. Or a replacement would be better. Can I have the... That'd be great. Okay. So that was that story. Check it out on the repository. And I just want to mention, we're not going to get into this, but I just want to mention that I did a podcast episode about the interactivity API. If you're a developer and you want the skinny on the new hotly baked interactivity API, this is an API in WordPress, which will in the future be a single point of contact for developers aiming to alter something on a website by doing something else. So for example, you click a buy, add to cart button, and the cart number goes up by one or what have you, something like that, will all be handled by the interactivity API. And in the past, developers have kind of rolled their own, which is fine. And in many cases, we've seen it working all over the place. But the idea of having this one API, which anybody can use to put anything interactive on your WordPress website, is kind of cool. So go and listen to Damon and Seth talking about that. Don't suppose anybody's got anything they want to add about that. I doubt it. If you do, speak up. If not, I'll just press on. Okay, thought so. This is nice. This is nice and exciting. So WordPress events, WordCamp Asia and WordCamp Europe have been added to the Kim Parcell Memorial Scholarship Program. Now, it used to be that only attendees of WordCamp US could apply for a scholarship, let's call it that. And the scholarship is particularly, there's some very specific constraints around it. And in the past, it was attending WordCamp US and was for women, it says on the site here. The scholarship assists women facing financial challenges attending these flagship WordPress events. So now, if you're attending WordCamp Europe as well as WordCamp Asia, you'll now be able to apply for this. I'm presuming that there's now three scholarships instead of one, which is going to go across all three events, but I could be wrong about that. I didn't actually read that. But anyway, nice piece of news. Anybody want to add anything to either?
I miss Kim. She was awesome.
Yeah, I confess I didn't know Kim, sadly, yeah. But this is a memorial scholarship, a sort of in dedication, right. In memoriam of.
So I think it's great.
It's the work. Mm.
Yeah. So I'm curious because you can also see to qualify, applicants must have never attended WordCamp Asia or WordCamp Europe before. I'm curious if it goes for all three. So if you've ever attended US, Asia, or Europe, that you no longer qualify.
I see. As opposed to if you've attended one of them. So in other words, if you've been to WordCamp Asia, you cannot qualify for WordCamp Asia.
And well, if you've been- or...
Yeah, or if you've attended any of them.
Three. Yeah. I don't know, but it's awesome that they do this for also Asia and Europe. I'm not sure who's funding it.
Yeah, that was the bit that I didn't quite follow as well.
Might be Automattic?
Maybe.
Didn't Automattic
it
fund...
It says the WordPress Foundation.
Okay.
Fair.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I missed that bit as well. So the qualifications requirements are identify as a woman, actively contribute to the WordPress project. I don't know on what level that means, but, read into it what you will. And as Taco said, has never attended a WordCamp Asia or WordCamp Europe before. And the word or in there is a bit tricky, isn't it? Maybe and or something like that. And require financial assistance to help attend either of those two events. You've got a little bit of time to think about it. If you meet those criteria and you are thinking of attending, you've got until the 30th of November. I should have said that this is on the WP Tavern website. So if you go wptavern.com, just search for this. It was published on the 5th of November. So you can check it out there. But anyway, nice kind of addition, and it seems to make sense. We've got these three flagship events, and having equality over them in terms of that funding option is really nice. Taco brought this to my attention. It was you, wasn't it, Taco?
Yes.
Yeah, just before we hit record, you can lead it if you want. Tell us what's going on.
Well, WordCamp Asia is the next upcoming flagship event, but WordCamp Europe is already planning ahead for June next year. And they've launched their call for sponsors this week. So, if you want to, sponsor WordCamp Europe, they use a first come, first serve, solution. There's only, I think, four spots for the top tier sponsorship, which comes in at, €90,000. Then there's 12 spots, at second tier. Which is 45,000. And after that, I have not studied it enough to remember exactly what the numbers are. But what's really nice is that they have both a small business and a small business plus sponsorship. So if you scroll down a little bit further. Okay. For those watching today, there's the packages. Because in the last couple of years, we saw that there was a huge demand for the small sponsorships. Yeah, that's smaller than editor, even smaller than author.
Keep going.
Yep.
Keep going.
Exactly. All yes, business. There we are. So Business Plus is slightly bigger, but still doable for a starting business or a smaller business. But it's a little step up from the next plan, which is the regular small business, which comes in at 2750. So yeah, that's,
You know, that's an interesting, that is a really interesting development. I'm glad you brought my attention to that. So this small business plus option, which is €5,500, they've got 8 of those packages available. And it's kind of interesting because it says that you get a 6 square meter and it calls it a booth. Now, normally you would maybe call it a stand normally, wouldn't you? You know, you get something that you can stand next to, but it's not really, you know, something that you can stand inside of. It might be a desk with some, I don't know, screen behind you or something. And that feels it's a little bit more like the small business, which is €2,750, because that one just said a point of presence, 4 meters. So for this one, you get a 6 square meter booth, which obviously for like one or two people is actually, that's actually doable, isn't it? You could get quite a bit in there. So that is interesting. Small business plus, but the very limited number of seats. So the small business plus, as there's 31 of those. I don't know if that's left. There's 8 of the small business plus ones. And then we go up author 13,000. And as Taco mentioned, editor 25 grand. Administrator 45 and super admin $90,000. I'm kind of interested to know what the interest will be given everything that's been happening in the WordPress space. And I don't want to go into that, but I am interested whether or not the events are going to be as well attended from an attendee point of view, but also I'm interested to see whether there's the same sort of clamor for the sponsorship things, or whether some of the companies that were definitely, you know, shoo-ins for being at those events, whether or not they're kind of putting the brakes on and thinking, let's just see how this goes. Only time will tell. I don't know if any of you three want to mention it.
Things are looking now, we won't see WP Engine as a top tier sponsor. So that's one slot that's available now.
Yep. And what about you? Like Taco, I mean, Yoast, do you know, if you can speak to that, then, and you're willing, that's fine. But if not, don't worry.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to share that, but what are they going to do? Fire me?
Pursue your non-disclosure.
Yoast will be an admin. If WordCamp Europe will have us, of course, we'll be an admin level sponsor.
Okay, so in the case of Yoast, it hasn't affected anything. So that's an interesting data point. Jen,
Yes, so I'm a moderator in the Dynamic WordPress group. And so I've been chatting with some product owners, people who would fall under the small business or the small business plus, that kind of level. And several of them are now completely on the fence about if they're even going. Like they had, you know, if it when I'd talked to them, you know, in August, they were planning, they weren't sure maybe which sponsorship level they were going to go for, but they were definitely planning to go, planning to sponsor. And now they're like, we're not even sure if we're going.
Okay. So not just like pulling out of the sponsorship, but just the mere attendance of, I got to say, I'm nervous is the wrong word, but first of all, I don't know if I'm going to attend any of those flagship events next year. If I do, that would be lovely. But if I did attend, I'd be really interested to sort of read the room a little bit and see who is there, who typically does go, who didn't go, and whether or not there's anything in that, whether they can sell the number of tickets that they typically do or not. We'll just have to wait and see. And I think Jen, I'm sure that I've heard similar stories. Yep.
Yeah, I've also talked to a couple of meetup organizers and also WordCamp organizers of the smaller WordCamps. They're already putting the brakes on 25. They're like, nope, we're not doing it. And quite a few meetups are significantly scaling back. They're like, well, we had plans. We're just going to pull those plans back.
Yeah. So we're going to a holding pattern. Okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't think you can speak for each and every one of those
people. No.
But,
people I've spoken with.
Yeah. I'd be interested in why people hold back because, yes, there's a legal dispute. Yes. There's a lot of stuff going on in our community. But if we all drop out, if we stop contributing, if we stop going to our events, you know who's going to win? Closed source software. Wix is going to win. Squarespace is going to take our place. And I think that as a community, we've all been advocates for open source for such a very long time that to lose all of that over things that may look completely different by June next year, I can only ask people to reconsider and to continue building WordPress. Let's continue releasing the software that we all work with.
But
that's how we win open source.
But that's the concern that people have. It's not the lawsuit. They're not concerned about the lawsuit is lawyers fighting over trademark issues. They're not actually concerned about that. What they're concerned about is who owns WordPress.org, who owns and controls the distribution channel. And they are concerned about, are they going to have continued guaranteed use of this distribution channel? This distribution channel is really what matters to them. And they want this distribution channel to be something that they can truly trust.
Yeah.
And that's,
I get that, but at the same time, as we, when we all stop contributing, there's nothing to distribute.
Yeah. But I think that there's a very practical consideration here, which is these companies, they're small businesses, you know, they could be 10 or less employees. I don't know, but they have to come up with their plan B also. So they have to put their time resources into, what happens if everything blows up here and, you know, and I've got these X number of employees that I have to take care of, plus put food on my table. I need a plan B. Is that plan B going to be, we have to retool for Joomla, or we have to, of all things, but, you know, but that's, it's not just the money resource or the uncertainty of where WordPress is going as a community. It is also that very practical reality of the amount of time that it takes to put into having that plan B and plan C and redirecting their focus. So it's, you know, I agree that unfortunately closed source can win in this situation, but people have their own very practical realities of putting food on their table. They don't have billions of dollars sitting in a bank account to support themselves. They're living paycheck to paycheck. So,
I fully get that. More than that. And appreciate it. It's just that I would hate to see it become a self-fulfilling prophecy where people say WordPress is going down, so I'm walking away. And that being the cause of WordPress going down.
Oh, speaking of going down, Mark's internet at that exact moment seems to have gone down. Oh, no, he's back. He's back in the room. He's back in the room.
Well, that might be the signal to move on then.
Yeah, well, actually, just again, about WordCamp Europe and not connected to that particular issue. The one thing which I think was always going to be interesting, even when we were all in Torino, if you went, and they announced it's going to be in Switzerland, I remember even at that moment thinking, gosh, my impression of Switzerland is it's an expensive place to just go anyway. So I wonder if even that will have a sort of compounding effect, if you know what I mean, because it can be quite an expensive destination. Certainly for somebody from the UK, I always think it's quite an expensive place. So that compounded with all the other bits and pieces. But there we go. The point being that the call for sponsors is now open. And if any of those seem attractive to you, especially that new one, maybe that fits in a little sweet spot. That's kind of interesting. Okay, let's just click over here. Okay, so this is for the designers out there. I confess I'm not a designer, so this really doesn't affect me in any way. But there's been quite a bit of excitement about this. So I'm going to link to, well, I'm going to show two things. The first one is James Costa on make.wordpress. And the article was the 7th of November, and it's called Announcing the New WordPress Design System Figma Library. And it says, and I quote, "Today I'm excited to announce the launch of the new WordPress Design System Library for Figma. The intention of this resource is to streamline the design process for folks working in the WordPress ecosystem." And it just a few bullet points. It's supposed to streamline your workflow with a vast array of components. Styles and components match the code base as closely as possible, and so on. And then if you follow it, actually the link to it is buried here. It's not immediately obvious, but there it is, sort of halfway down. Then you end up on figma.com. At the WordPress design system. And I know that all the cool kids seem to be using Figma these days. And so another tool like this, if you're working in the WordPress space and you want to, you know, mock some things up in Figma in a way that looks WordPressy, let's just call it that, then this is quite cool. Not being a designer, it sort of didn't capture my attention, but I saw a few people who I would consider to be designers who seem to be going absolutely nuts about this. So maybe it is truly important for those people.
You're a block builder, this would be very, very helpful.
Nice. Let us dwell on that just for a moment longer. If Taco or Mark wanted to add anything, I don't know if you did. If not, I'll sort of just move to the comments quickly.
I know that the UX team at Yoast is using Figma as well, but that's all I know about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's become like the default, hasn't it? It's a bit like Photoshop was back in the day. And, you know, the collaborative nature of it all and the fact that you can see what everybody else is doing in real time, kind of like Google Docs, but for design. And it's just so seamless in the... I mean, I've played with it a couple of times, but nothing particularly difficult. Right, let's move on. So Nick is saying, so just back to the previous article. Sorry, Mark, I've just completely chopped your head off. The recent issues brought the weak governance of the project structure into sharp focus. That's the issue for me. Couldn't care less about the trademark dispute. Andrew Palmer says, Taco makes a good point, but people are concerned as to what they're contributing to. And Taco's responded, I get that. I just want to be overly optimistic to counterbalance some of the overly pessimistic voices. Also, really want to go to Basel to meet my word. Yeah, there you go. To meet my WordPress friends. That only happens if we're able to fund WordCamp Europe properly. Okay, let us move on. So a couple of new interesting tools. I kind of thought we'd seen the end of new whiz-bang page builder-y kind of
never,
things.
Never happening.
Okay, all right. I kind of assumed we had, and everybody was sort of going in some sort of variant or that the tools that were out there already were kind of saturating the marketplace, so it was crowded already. But no, apparently not. Here we go. So here's a couple for your delectation. The first one is called Superblock. It says here, get early access. So this doesn't appear to have been built. It's superblocks.com, SUPABLOX.com. And it says, Superblocks brings you speed, control, and unified building experience to WordPress core. Now, when I look at it, I just think, is that not full site editing? Is it just a block editor? So if that's the case, are we not just dealing with blocks? And then if you sort of go a little bit further down, there's a, read the announcement, little link here buried right at the bottom, and you get here and they give us their credentials. They are the people who founded the Flatsome theme and UX builder. Heard of Flatsome, I'd not heard of UX builder. And it says, our vision for Superblocks is to make building WordPress websites using blocks as enjoyable as possible, and powerful as building with modern tools like Framer and Webflow. So at this point, I'm not entirely sure, but I'm presuming it's using the built-in full site editor, in which case I don't quite understand what their UVP is, if it's just the block editor. Anyway, there you go. There's one tool. It's called Superblocks.
Yeah. It looks like they're building on top of the block editor, though.
Right.
Make some things easier and more useful.
Yeah, in which case, it's kind of hard to market that message, especially for somebody with the attention span of a gnat, like I have. Trying to differentiate yourself is going to be really hard to cut through. And then the other one was this one. And this is called Twentig. And it says the easiest way to create stunning WordPress websites. And this, I again, I'm not entirely sure, but it, you know, it's making the position that it's using like block-based themes and what have you. It's got a plugin, but again, it looks like it's using the block editor, and it mentions patterns and things like that. So I don't really know. But here they both
are. It looks like it's a block enhancement tool. Yeah. Like it adds more features and options to the blocks. And there's several of those out there.
And on that point, Mark's had enough again. The mere mention of the full site editing has got him all hot under the collar, and he's gone. Bless him and his internet. It's really not working out for him. Anyway, there you go. A couple of new tools. So you can Google these, no doubt. Superblocks.com. And he's back. There he is. Your internet is really misbehaving today.
I think I'm going to go back to bed after that.
Let's just skip today, Mark.
Yeah, just skip today.
I think so.
Go back to bed and come up on Tuesday smiling. Yeah, that's probably the best way to do it. So Superblocks and Twentig, go and check them out at your delectation. I haven't really had a time to play with them. However, something that I have had a fairly decent look at, which Taco wanted to mention, because it's been popping up all over on socials, is this one, Personalize WP with a Z or a Z in it. Tell us about this, Taco. Do you know anything about it, or is it just that you'd seen it here, there, and everywhere?
Well, I know that they went through a rebranding to get to Personalized WP. And I think they were last year at WordCamp Europe, one of the, or was it the year before even? I can't remember.
It was Athens. Yeah.
Yeah, Athens. They did the Shark Tank with Emilia Capital and won an investment from them. But other than that, I haven't really tried the product yet. But it seems to be popping up everywhere. Like, a lot of sites on social. So they're doing something right, at least to get the attention. And so I was wondering if you'd seen this before and played with it, because I know that you know Paul pretty well.
Yeah, I have actually. In fact, Paul and I have spent a few, we did like a webinar series, not necessarily around this product, but I have had a play with it. And it's really nice, you know, having everything tucked away inside the block editor. I should add that it's the kind of plugin that, you know, it's like an if this, then that kind of thing, whereby if this condition is met, do this thing. So it might be, oh, I don't know, hide this block unless you're in Australia, in which case show this block. Or it might be, you know, if it's 10 days before the 25th of December, pull this block, but replace it with this one, that kind of thing. So it enables you to poll certain user conditions. Like, I don't know, it might be which browser you're using or something like that, and then do something with that information. And you're right. It is very, very savvy job on the PR lately. And I don't know if they've invested a lot of time and money into investing to get it be known. But a bit like you, Taco, I've seen some people who I would describe as influencers, in air quotes. Not that they've got a YouTube channel, but, you know, just people who have that level of like kudos and importance in the WordPress community. Quite a few of them, apropos of nothing, you know, they just piped up and said, oh, I've just tried this thing and it's really cool. So it's definitely worth looking out. It's by the guys over at Filter. I don't know if it's built by the company itself, but Paul Halfpenny, who is one of the people behind it, works with an agency in the UK called Filter, and they're in it. And so if you want to personalize your website, this is definitely a credible way of doing it, all done inside the block editor. I think it's a free version. Yeah, it says here download for free. But it's definitely a paid version as well. And you can go and check it out if you want. Anything you want to add to that, Jen or Mark?
Well, they could improve the accessibility on their website.
Oh, you don't like the, what is it, the colors you're not fond of? Is that what that was?
Keyboard users can't even download it because it opens a modal window and doesn't grab any focus, and it doesn't support focus states. And there's a few issues.
I can I can connect you with Paul Halfpenny.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, send yeah, yeah. send send us a note. And because that's definitely, you know, the reality is people aren't perfect, and we need to build websites for imperfect people, because as Taco has discovered, you can become injured very quickly with no prior planning.
are we really going here?
Yeah. Taco is apparently quite good at falling in a hole. We've all done it. We've all been there. Let's move on, though, not talk about medical stuff. But this one, I've not put in this in the show notes, but it just occurred to me this was a really, like, a perfectly similar story to the last one. Personalized WP, doing a great job with kind of, it felt like guerrilla marketing. Don't know if you've come across this one. I know Jen has. Don't know if you've come across this one.
I did the accessibility work.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah. So this is Calvin Elkin. So the company is called Sneeko. And in the past, they've had this product called Fortress, which they sell to primarily hosting companies to harden their security posture on their hosting environments. But he was, so this is such an interesting story, right? A couple of months ago, he decided to rebuild the Fortress website. And he doesn't play much with WordPress on the inside. You know, he knows code and he's a developer, but he doesn't build websites. And he got so frustrated with clicking around in WordPress that he decided, why isn't it more like my IDE? And he uses PHP Storm, and they've got this command palette where you click command K and this modal pops up, which is basically a text box. And it's kind of like, what do you want to do? So you start typing and you tell it, I don't know, I want to do this particular thing, or I want to build something around this function. And it pre-fills it all for you. So he thought, what could I do in WordPress that's the same? And within a few hours...
Two hours, and he had an MVP built.
And he had a mock-up of it, which did a whole basic ton of stuff. And then he saw what was happening in the WordPress community, and he thought, okay, maybe things are going to slow down on the Fortress side. Why don't I just devote a bit of time? So he did. And this has gone nuts, like really nuts. It's been absolutely everywhere. And so it's a bit like Spotlight on your Mac or Raycast or something like that. And I've had a play. Within, I reckon, 5 minutes, you're going to throw the mouse in the bin on your WordPress site because it.
Well, not quite. There's
I'm joking. Yeah, I'm joking. But the point being that literally everything you want to achieve, you can do with a simple. You just start typing, and you don't have to fulfill the word. And he said to me, there was a good example, and Calvin, I did a podcast episode with him, and he said to me, okay. Imagine some weird thing inside of the settings menu that you're in a post, you want to get to it because you suddenly realize you want to change a particular thing. You've got to click out of the editor, you've got to click into settings, you've got to find the subsection of the settings, make the amendment and click save. And then, but with his product, you just start typing the thing. So it might be, I don't know, permalinks. You just type P-E-R, and by the time you've got to M, it's there. And you hit return and it takes you right to it. It's really cool. And I imagine from an accessibility point of view, because you're using text, it's pretty good. But Jen, you did a bit of work. You produced a YouTube video, but also went inside the product to help them, right?
Yes. So the initial command palette, part of it was, if you've ever tried the actual built-in WordPress palette that's there, it only works when you're in the block editor.
Yeah.
Which, you know, quite frankly, a lot of us are not using block themes. Even if we are using block themes, there's still times when you're not in the block editor. So you still can't access it. It's terrible on accessibility. The screen reader is, it does not handle focus. It does not manage things as a dialogue should. There's a lot of problems with it. And there's another, tool out there, Turbo Admin, which for some people is also a great tool. That one's a browser extension. And they also have a lot of issues with the focus management, refreshing, completely losing access to the box. And then Calvin basically had like the 1 month crash course with me on accessibility. And we got into a lot of the weeds, a lot of the details. Even you know, making sure that on his website, where you, once you create an account, you can actually, you know, copy the license key. You know, even if you're using just the keyboard or just a screen reader, it's still easy to do.
It's at commandui.com. And look, there's Yoast. He says it's quite good, which is, you know, he's been about a bit, that chap, amongst other people. Honestly, definitely worth watching the videos. It's kind of profound. And if you sort of have that frustration of clicking out of things to find the menu and it's buried. And the neat thing is it doesn't need to do any weird crawling or anything like that. If there's a setting somewhere inside your WordPress, it will know about it immediately. So if you install a new plugin and it's got 150 settings, it will immediately know about all 150 of them. And then you can start typing and change them. And obviously you can do things like add a post, add a custom post type, create a post, delete a post, whatever. You know, you can interact with whatever it is on your WordPress website. And yeah, it's really good. So commandui.com is where to go. And I should say, thanks to the hat tip from the people inside the comments, there is a different product which takes a very similar approach. Mark's having a real fun time. Now it's all of his lights have gone off. It's just like, what the heck? Ross Wintle from the UK built a very similar product called, Turbo Admin. The difference being it's not a plugin. It's a browser extension. And the unique thing about that is if you've got the browser extension in, let's say, Chrome, you don't need to be in a WordPress website with the plugin installed. You just go into the WordPress website and it becomes available because it knows that it's a WordPress website. And so it's kind of a different take on things. And yeah, so Andrew Palmer, thank you, is also a WordPress plugin. Turbo Admin. It's a Chrome version. Oh, has it got a plugin as well? Okay. I didn't realize
that. It has a plugin and it also has a Chrome extension. The Chrome extension's a lot more popular since you can grab it across all of your websites.
Yeah.
One of the limitations on the Chrome extension is it can't get into all of the API accesses that a plugin can reach.
Got it. Okay. Got it.
So the downside, Nathan, for Command UI is that you don't seem to be able to buy it.
Oh, has he gone through his allotment? Oh, has he sold out?
There's another claim now, but if you click that, you end up in, nope, it's been Friday.
Okay, so this is a product of...
Oh, yeah. It's back on Saturday.
Yeah, so...
Well, we will go bug Calvin about that.
Yeah,
there's no which Saturday, but...
What of the things which is, he launched this product with no expectation of it being a big success. And he actually, I think the words he said to me was, I thought maybe at the outside, I'd be able to pay a couple of months rent. And I think he's done considerably more than that, let's put it that way.
He can now pay a couple of years rent. Yes.
Yeah, more like that. Yeah, so it's been a real one of those perfect storms of he created a product. He went into a few of the Facebook groups and said, I've got this thing. What do you think? Here's a video. And everybody went, yeah, right now. I want that now. And so then he built it out. And he's obviously got this sort of special pricing going on, which at the moment he looks to have sold out of. And then I presume it's going to, you know, normal service will resume at some point. Maybe he's on like a trip to the Bahamas or something, you know, just enjoying
it. It's a supply chain issue, I think.
Yeah, that's right. There's not enough bits.
Out of stock.
not enough plugins. He sends you the license key on paper. Yeah, it's really great. Both of them, totally credible. Go and check them both out. Turbo Admin.
Yeah, definitely, depending on your use case.
Yeah, yeah. But just a lovely story of success in the WordPress community. And it's kind of nice at the moment to have a bit of success. So speaking of products, as we are, here's another one from the guys at Fluent. They're actually managed WP Ninja, but everything seems to have Fluent attached to it. So they got Fluent boards, Fluent forms, Fluent SMTP, and more. There's more.
At least a dozen others, yeah.
Yeah, and a really credible company releasing, I think, really credible products. And so they got this new one, which they've put into the market space. It's called Fluent Community. Honestly, beyond its name, I don't really know much about it. I haven't taken it for a spin. I don't even know if it's ready to, because it says get early access. I don't know if that means you can buy it or if you're sort of beta testing it at the moment. But the it very much looks like Facebook groups, but done on your own hardware. So think something like BB Press.
It's similar to Buddy Press.
Yeah.
Think
yeah.
something like that, but significantly less bloat than something like Buddy Boss, which can be just a nightmare to deal with.
I find it's kind of an interesting thing. I think the promise of building a community is so alluring, but I think the reality of it, you know, just because you bought the plugin, people will not necessarily come. But having things away from those platforms, you know, the Facebook groups and the LinkedIn groups, that has some appeal to me, having it inside of your own WordPress.
It's especially good for people who want more privacy.
Hmm.
One of the works groups that I work with is a sobriety group. And so they really want separate and private and not tied to anyone's socials and all of that.
Yeah. So it seems to have all of the different bits and pieces that you would want. Maybe be good for, I don't know, some sort of intranet type thing for your business or something. Anyway, it's there. Go and check it out. It's fluentcommunity.co. And I'm sure if it's like any of the other products they've released, it'll be well worth a look. We're not helping. FOMO. Sorry, Andrew. Okay, right. Now then, does anybody have any WordPressy stuff still, or can we move on and do non-WordPressy stuff for a minute? Yeah, should we move on? Okay, that's the end of the WordPress stuff. So here we go. Taco, I suppose, is best aligned to talk about this. This feels like it could be one of the most disruptive things. I don't know. Obviously, you know, ChatGPT came around. Everybody dropped everything that they were doing and went and played with that for a month or two, didn't they? And so now they're getting themselves firmly into the search engine market. It's called ChatGPT Search, believe it or not. And at the minute, it would appear that you have to pay to access it. It says Plus and Team users can try it now. I haven't played with it, but my assumption is that this will be an out-and-out success. I have no reason other than just the fact that I assume it will be, because everybody, you know, you say ChatGPT and everybody goes nuts. Something on that website isn't loading, so I'm just going to reload it and we'll be able to see the video. So it's a chat interface. You know, what do you expect? You go through this sort of chat process, so you're asking it questions, it feels like, more than just wanting a website in return. And then it gives you the answers with the, you know, what you'd expect, really. The thing I don't really understand is, how is this different from what we've got at the moment? Is it just that it's got a website? What's
it's
difference?
A live internet search. A lot of the ChatGPT is from the archived internet that it already indexed. This is actually getting the live internet.
So if you ask it a question about, I don't know, flights to Switzerland, it will be able to give you real-time information, whereas the ChatGPT was plumbing, like, was it 2021 or something like that prior to that?
It was.
I don't remember the exact.
Yeah, but it was definitely old, and it was stale, and it hallucinated because of that very constraint, didn't it? Okay, so this is live. My supposition is that this is potentially Google's worst nightmare. I don't think anything's come along that potentially could have toppled Google. And maybe it will be the case that this doesn't, and Google's, you know, will roll Gemini up successfully into its own offering. But I don't know. I feel this has got the capacity to do the work of Google, but also get like public buy-in and people using it. I don't know. Would you use this? Any of you three?
Well, I would. And I'm wondering, doesn't Google now return Gemini answers sometimes when you know?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Google now. I use DuckDuckGo, and I have done for quite a few years.
Yeah, I use DuckDuckGo too, which is why I'm asking.
Use Brave. It gives me AI answers for everything.
Okay.
Oh, Brave can be annoying when it comes to that.
Some of them are actually really good.
Yeah.
To give you recipes, though. The AIs, do not ask them to bake. Baking is both an art and a science, and it has given some absolutely ridiculous ratios.
Like that episode of Friends, lasagna with beef.
One to one water to flour ratio for baking bread. And I'm like, that's how you make paste.
That's how you make wet bread. Yeah. So I've just gone to Google, google.co.uk, and they seem to be certainly, so I'm logged into Google. It knows who I am. It's given me the normal interface, but underneath it is occupying that prime real estate. Underneath the search bar is Try Gemini. And so I hit that and it completely upends the UI. It's nothing like the Google. So the chat is so that the box, if you like, that I'm editing is at the bottom. And yeah, I'm off to the races. So there's no doubt that Google are going to be in this race to compete. So I don't know, maybe OpenAI and ChatGPT won't be able to compete because Google's just, you know, miles out in the lead at the moment. And obviously everything will be baked into Android, I would imagine as well. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing.
Apple even, was,
yeah.
Sorry, let's let Taco have a go.
Yeah, even if they manage to get 10% of the whole search market, which is huge, Google's still going to own 83% or something. So, yes, it will definitely be a changer, a game changer for some target audiences. But I don't think that people over at Google lose their sleep over it just yet.
I think also Google has such a, credible in the sense that it's profitable, whether or not it gets in your way or annoys you. They have this perfect financial model, don't they? Where, you know, they've got the ad network tied up. They've got, you know, the Android operating system. They've got Gmail where they can figure out what it is that you want and all of that. Whereas OpenAI have just got, you know, you open your wallet and you get an API key and pay for it. I still feel people paying for search is not something that most people would be willing to do. And obviously Google can circumvent that with all the other revenue streams that they've got. But yeah, I could be wrong about that.
I don't Apple see my mom has... buying Plus or anything anytime soon to do a search. So But go ahead, Jen. I was interested.
Yeah, sorry, Jen.
Yeah, so Apple has been announcing a lot of the partnership stuff with OpenAI.
Right.
And if they can start getting people in the habit of using the ChatGPT on their phone, and they have a rather substantial portion of the phone market, that could definitely transition into desktop use. I mean, people now are spending a lot more time on their phone than on their desktops.
It's interesting. Google Pay, Apple, and eye-watering amount of money every year to be the default search on iOS. I'm going to pluck a number out of thin air, but for some reason this number is coming into my head. 20 billion, I think, is the number that they pay Apple each year to have that space. And I don't know what the revenue stream for OpenAI looks like, but with the amount of investment that seems to be flooding the AI space, it wouldn't surprise me if OpenAI could come with a similar or perhaps even better offer. Or maybe, you know, the incentive for Apple just to derail Google is enough. Like, you know, we'll offer you it for far less money because we just want to kill off Google and Android and all of that kind of stuff. Anyway, there it is.
Yeah,
introduced.
Yeah, Apple and Google have not historically had a fantastic relationship.
No.
And I mean, I think that one of the things that OpenAI could do is... One of the big, concerns that people have with Google is, of course, the privacy issues and all that. And if ChatGPT could capture some of that somehow, then maybe it would benefit them. But, it's a matter of what makes them different. And if Google's already doing it, it's going to be hard to get people off that if it's not intuitively easy.
Yeah, I just don't really want to chat with an internet search. I think I'm old enough to know what I want to do. And, you know, I want to get the answer kind of back. I don't really want to have a back and a forth and a conversation, but I imagine that the young kids out there will be doing it all differently. And chat is that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Perfect episode for your new podcast, Mark.
Get the, that's it. You're my first guest.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, they're not going to be doing the likes that I'm doing. And I still think Google is pretty remarkable. Although Max would disagree. He said, Google is a dumpster fire. I hate using it. Yeah, I'm trying to disconnect from Google where I possibly can. But I've realized that it is a question of where I possibly can. It's just got its hooks in so deep in so many parts of my life. Android has 71% of all mobile phone ownership. Gemini will do just fine. I'm sure that you're right. Okay, last one, very quickly, because we're running out of time, and I'll make it this one. Wow, Australia, wow. So this is on the BBC, and BBC tend to be a credible news site, so I'm imagining there's some truth in this. Australia plans social media ban for under 16. I'm going to quote, Australia's government says it will introduce a world-leading legislation to ban children from under 16 from social media. The Prime Minister, so it's not just some sort of junior cabinet spokesperson, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese said the proposed law to be tabled in Parliament next week were aimed at mitigating the harm social media was inflicting on Australian children. While many of the details are yet to be debated, the government said the ban would apply to young people already on social media. So you 15-year-olds who've been using TikTok for the longest time, yeah, you're going to be in the dragnet. No exemptions on age limit for children who have consent from their parents. And the government says the onus will be on social media platforms to show that they are taking responsible steps to prevent access. I am conflicted about this. On the one hand, the libertarian kind of in me is saying, hands off, government, you know, we can do what we like. On the other hand, the sort of slightly more, I don't know, concerned father in me is thinking, this is not a bad idea. So I'm kind of a bit on the fence. But I, you know, you only have to drive down the road in any urban area in the Western world now, and you see every single person staring at the rectangle. And I call it the rectangle now. I've given up even calling it a phone. It's just like this void. It just sucks you into it. So I don't know. We seem to be unwilling to decouple ourselves. So maybe the sledgehammer approach from the Australian government, because by the time, I guess the intention here is by the time that you get to 16, you've got loads of habits in your life already, like you're doing things. And so if you can get to 16 and not have that habit, maybe you'll be kind of immune from it. Anyway, debate very quickly. We don't have much time.
Go ahead, Jen.
I'm very glad that social media did not exist when I was in middle school. I have to tell you that. It would have been exceptionally worse, and it was already pretty bad. I just can't even imagine how awful it is. I mean, for a lot of kids, and especially those formative growing years with the hormones going crazy and pettiness, and it can definitely be toxic and damaging. So that part of me likes it, but also I don't want the government involved in everything, but also, who else is going to put limits on these megacorps?
Yeah. And I think it's fair to say that the profit incentive is to get you engaged as long as possible, right? That is the business, is to keep you fixated on it. And I think often the algorithm works very well when it's kind of content which shocks you or kind of alarms you in some way. So Taco, sorry.
Yeah. So I have two daughters, a 4-year-old and an 8-year-old. The 8-year-old is now starting to ask for her own phone, her own tablet, stuff like that, access to YouTube to follow some of the content creators that, in my old man's opinion, are barely worth the word content. Me saying no is still possible because she's only 8.
Yeah, the day will come.
But I can't even imagine the social pressure 5 years from now. And if I'm the only one saying no, then that's also going to affect her social life in a very different way. So having a government that says no to everybody makes it a whole lot easier to say no as a parent, because it's the law. So yes, government interference, meh. But in this case, I feel it would be helping me as a parent to say no.
Yeah, that's kind of an interesting thing. And I can tell you, I've got children who grew up in this era where it became popular. And also they grew up in an area where we just didn't know the harms that were going to come. So I would say that that period was probably as bad as it could have been. It's not so much the social media in the traditional sense of go and consume endless amounts of scrolly content on TikTok. It's more the chat apps, you know, and I wonder if they'll be caught up in this dragnet, you know. So Snapchat and so on, and you just name them all, WhatsApp and what have you. I don't know, because they're not really, you know, there's no algorithm trying to game your attention there, but it is fairly insidious. And what you'll discover, Taco, is that the children who don't have it are kind of pariahs, because they can't be involved in the decision-making process, which when you and I were at school, you'd figure everything out like the day before and stick to the time that you said and meet in the town center or whatever at 9 a.m. at the shop that you all agree. Now they just invent everything on the fly. It's like, where are you now? Okay, I'll be there in 10 minutes. Oh, no, we've moved. We're going somewhere else. You know, so it does make you a bit of a pariah. So it's interesting. Try to delay it as much as possible, says Max. Also enforce rooms being kept reasonably tidy, asking for a friend. Can they also, they can't do that. That unfortunately is out of the remit of almost any government, I would imagine.
That's very analog.
You only have to look 2 feet that way and to realize that I can't do it either. It's hysterical. There's just total chaos over there. That's it. We're done. We're a bit late. I'm sorry about that. But we started off fairly slow to the race today. But thank you so much if you joined us in the chat. Thank you to everybody who joined us. I really appreciate that. And obviously, it goes without saying, thank you to Taco. Probably the last time I'll be able to say Taco from Yoast.
Yes.
Well, I can say that. I'll say Taco with Yoast next time, but with a different spelling. Yeah. Thank you to Jen. And thank you to Mark. Where's Mark? Mark's over there. Hopefully your internet connection will survive during the rest of the day. It's that humiliating time of the day. But we have to do the hands. I do apologize for this. It's terrible, isn't it? But there we go. That's it. We'll be back, I think, next week. Hopefully we'll be back next week. But if not, then we'll see you the week after. Take it easy. Thank you very much for joining us today. See you next week on This Week in WordPress. Take care. Bye. Bye. Bye.